We're on God's time schedule, aren't we? Do we have eternal life now or when we get to heaven?
Yes.
Starts now, doesn't it? At the moment of salvation? All right, so that watch doesn't mean anything? Man, just tee it up right there. I'm so thankful. Proverbs chapter number 20, we're going to read the first seven verses. Let's stand together. Proverbs chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That is still in the Bible. We might as well start reading over. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? A just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. I know we could almost take individual verses as you come through the book of Proverbs to be able to preach throughout each and every one of them. There is so much to be preached. I know several books have been written as far as dealing with the characters of Proverbs, the slothful, the scorner, the sluggard. But I want to look at verse number 6 where it says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I want to preach a few thoughts. God is speaking to my heart about this matter of faithfulness on confidence in faithfulness. Confidence in faithfulness. You can be seated. We're just going to get right into the message this afternoon. So many times, and I believe that there is a misunderstanding, if I can say, or a misapplication of what we consider faithfulness to be today. Most times we'll judge faithfulness strictly on outward actions. But I don't believe that's the definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness, just because someone may do a lot of things, does not mean that they're the most faithful to the Lord. They may be faithful to a cause. They may be faithful to a person. They may be faithful to a situation. But it does not, just because of activity, make someone faithful. A faithful man who can find. This is not Webster's definition of faithfulness, but as I wrote down and I was looking at faithfulness, I believe this. I believe faithfulness, when we look in the scriptures, faithfulness is a spiritual characteristic that is cultivated and is evidenced through physical action. Faithfulness is a spiritual characteristic that we do cultivate and that is evident through physical action. A faithful person, can I say, there will be evidence on the outside, but it's not the busiest person that is the most faithful person. Now, may I remind us not to take this all the way to the other extreme either. Because Lord willing, either next Sunday morning or the Sunday morning after that, as soon as God gives me liberty to, and I've been praying for liberty for 2 months, for a message to be preached on that balance of abiding in Christ and abounding for Christ. It's not always the busiest person in the cause of Christ that is the most faithful to Christ, But may I remind us that a faithful person to Christ will be doing something for Christ. It's a natural outgrowth of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Confidence in faithfulness. When I begin here, I want to share three characteristics and really just three thoughts. I just wrote down simple three thoughts. Actually, it was early this morning, about the subject matter of faithfulness and the subject matter of confidence in faithfulness. And God brought my heart over to this phrase: most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And see, first of all, in verse number 6, the humility of faithfulness. When I say it's a spiritual characteristic, I would not say that the person that has to remind us all the time on how faithful they are the most faithful in their relationship with the Lord. You say, why is that? Because most men proclaim their own goodness. But, which is the opposite side to show a contrast, a faithful man who can find. In other words, the characteristic of faithfulness is not someone who is going to be heaping the glory and the honor upon themselves. But a faithful man is that which, that one, it can be a faithful man, a faithful lady, is that one to which all the honor and the glory and the praise belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in and of ourselves, there is no good thing. But yet most men, and it is amazing, and you watch this in conversations, we love our number one topic. We love to talk about ourselves. You say, is that the truth? Well, that's what Jesus was banking on when he started giving and he summarized the commandments. Remember, he summarized all the commandments of the Old Testament. He said, into these two, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and might. And then he says, the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor. And what's that little phrase? As thyself. Do you know that Jesus knew that the number one person that you and I are going to love is the person we look at in the mirror every morning? We're very selfish people. Our number one topic we like to talk about is ourselves. Just ask me. I could talk about myself all day long, but it's not the spiritual characteristic of a faithful person. And when we start looking at faithfulness, it's not a matter of who is doing all this stuff, but the faithfulness is who's faithful to God, who has that spiritual characteristic that it's not about us, but yet all that glory, all that attention. Hey, listen, we had a great day at jail yesterday. Wonderful services that are there. But can I say this? It's not about one comment. It ought not to be one comment about, look what I did. Every man will proclaim his own faithfulness, his own goodness. Hey, I'm wonderful. Just ask me. I mean, I'm God's gift to humanity. That's not the characteristics of a faithful person. And when we look at scriptures, the humility, can I say this? A faithful person is one that's not too proud to be counted on either, because they're faithful. When we say counted on, listen, it's not that we have to broadcast. I love the fact that we have faithful people to the Lord, and they're faithful in their place each and every time that they're supposed to be there. I told Brother Josh, I said, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I struggle. We were talking about different subject matters, and I told him, I said, I'm a people person. I love being around people. I love talking to people. I love the fellowship. I do. And I said, but you know something? I said, there's sometimes, I said, and I know people are going to be there. I said, you know, some people are just as happy to talk to me on Sunday. And even if they don't talk to me on Sunday, they're just as happy. And not to hear from me again until Thursday night. I said, but I do know. And I said, those are core Christians. I know they're going to be there. I know they're in their place. I said, and they're faithful. And they're not being found faithful to a man. They're not being found faithful to a church, which I'm going to be honest with you, there's biblical principles for both of them. But our utmost allegiance is that faithfulness in our relationship to the Lord. And we don't, it's not the person that runs around and broadcasts it to everybody. Because most men will proclaim their own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I'm thankful for some faithful men that have some humility. And they're not too proud to be counted on. I've run into some preachers like this that you'll book them for a meeting and they're yours and they're happy to be there unless something better comes along. And if a bigger church offers to book them for a revival meeting, or maybe they can get a bigger love offering for going somewhere else, and then they'll all of a sudden call the smaller church, and this has happened. They'll call the smaller church and say, I double booked for the week. Can I rebook you? Now, a faithful man who can find, they're not proclaiming their own goodness. And I thought, Lord, help us that our faithfulness is not based upon what we are doing every day, but our faithfulness is based upon who our relationship is with every day. The humility of faithfulness, but then can I say the hurt of unfaithfulness? I believe the last time I preached on this verse, I believe it was probably April or May of 2014. Turn over with me to Proverbs chapter 25. This isn't one of my favorite verses in the Bible, but it gives a great illustration of the hurt of unfaithfulness. Some of you will understand this as soon as we read it. Proverbs 25, verse number 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. How many can sympathize with either a broken tooth or a foot out of joint? He gives a great, great word picture here about the hurt of unfaithfulness. Now, can I say this? And the first thing that comes to my mind, that's not what I'm preaching on today, is the unfaithfulness inside of a marriage. But there is honestly, besides our unfaithfulness to our Heavenly Father, I don't believe there'd be any greater hurt than between a husband and wife not being faithful to each other. For the wife to have to sit down, and listen, this is talked about all the way through. You've got the strange woman all the way through Proverbs. You've got the simple young man all the way through Proverbs. And Solomon is dealing with both of them and dealing with unfaithfulness, that the woman has the good man of the house and he's gone on a journey. She's unfaithful while he's away at the journey. Then you have the young man who is unfaithful to his Savior, to his wife, and going in to that woman. Unfaithfulness in a marriage. But can I say, I believe what's being talked about here, when we look at it, that is definitely an application to it. But overall, when we're looking at the faithfulness of an individual, when you are in trouble and you need someone to be there, and you have confidence in them that they're going to be there no matter what, the hurt of unfaithfulness, you try getting up and putting all your weight on a foot out of joint, and it'll let you down and you'll collapse. In fact, you may even cause more hurt and more damage. Or a broken tooth. How many have ever tried to bite down on something and you know you got the broken tooth and you're waiting to be able to get it fixed, and then by accident you bite down on it again and you just want to punch whoever is closest to you because it just hurts so bad? The hurt of unfaithfulness, the only scenarios we can put it in are human relationships. But I wonder how it is, because can I say, in the context of the Old Testament, it was God looking down upon the nation of Israel and calling them adulterers and adulteresses. You know what that is? Someone who's unfaithful. And I thought, I wonder when God looks down upon us and the hurt of unfaithfulness, that God is saying, listen, I'm not so interested in your entire resume of everything that you're doing down through here, but you're unfaithful in your relationship to me. And I thought, you know, my wife and I can go through a lot of things even if I never buy her flowers on a weekly basis. And I so praise the Lord. She loves flowers, but you know something? It's not something she has to have every week. I so thank the Lord for that. We can still have a great relationship even if I don't get her flowers. It's not based on all those things, because we know we have that relationship together. And I thought, I wonder how many times with the Lord, we may give him our resume and say, Lord, look what I did for you this week, and I did everything down through here. And I wonder if the Lord would be saying, but you never talked to me this week. But I was never able to share my heart with you this week. Faithfulness isn't an outward action, but the hurt of unfaithfulness. And I just wonder when God looks down upon us and God is trying to put confidence in us and saying, I'm going to have them do this. But then there's times, hey, putting confidence in Peter Chamberlain is like trying to step on a foot at a joint. And we're saying, Lord, I want you to use me. But he's saying, you're not faithful. You're not faithful. I can't trust that. The hurt of unfaithfulness, a foot at a joint and a broken tooth. I thought, Lord, if you'd allow me to, I don't want that to be describing me. How many of ever and you didn't realize it that your foot fell asleep? Most of the time for me, and I'll just, if I start walking funny on a platform at some point, you'll know why this is. It's usually sitting right there. If I put my one leg up on top of the other one, and it cuts that blood flow off, and then before I know it, I try to stand up and come to the pulpit, and my leg's asleep. And then it hurts like crazy as it's coming back, and I'm thinking, I need confidence in this right now. I've seen some men, I know this is a very simple illustration, I've seen some men, Brother Roger Napper has a prosthetic leg, and talking about a foot at a joint, there's been times, he was down in Tennessee, and his prosthetic leg locked up on him. In other words, it wasn't bending, it was straight out. And he said, I had 8.5 hours to drive home. He said, so you try getting in your car with your leg straight out and drive for 8.5 hours. He said, I eventually just had to take my leg off and put it in the trunk and drive home one-legged. Now, I don't recommend that if you don't have a prosthetic leg, okay? But I thought, listen, you know how many illustrations that have come to my heart and mind when I think about things like that, that it just locked up and it was no good whatsoever. And there's been times, listen, I've been with him. He put a new leg on and it was so out of joint, it wasn't worked in. And the pain that it caused because he couldn't depend upon it. And I thought, how many times, not just in our relationship with God, but you know this one with another. Can I say what going through, I think Brother Don and Brother John will appreciate this, but do you know going through a building project, one thing that I've learned and found out, there's some people and there's some contractors that they may be the cheapest price, but they're not coming back to do the next job. Because confidence in an unfaithful man is like a foot out of joint. And there's some, listen, you love them in the Lord and you praise the Lord that they're a brother in Christ, but you're not going to ask them to do that next task. And we look at things, and I'm thinking the hurt of unfaithfulness, and not just in relationship to one another, but our unfaithfulness and our relationship to the Lord, not based upon your grocery list of everything that's been done, but based upon a relationship with the Lord. I wonder if the Lord has tried to have confidence in your relationship with Him this week, and He's found none. Confidence in an unfaithful man. But then I want to come down to this. I want to come down to the honor of faithfulness. We see the humility that most men will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find, they're humble in their relationship with the Lord. And I found out this, the closer you get to the Lord, the more humble you'll become. But humility, boy, it's a very fine line. Most humble people don't know they're humble. Because as soon as they know they're humble, they're not humble anyway. As soon as you say, man, I've been humble today, it's gone. It's a very fine line. And the most humble people that I've ever met, faithful in their relationship to the Lord, they think they're about the proudest person. But they're walking in humility. They have a relationship with the Lord. And if you were to ask them, they'd be like, no, I'm not humble, man. They have a relationship with the Lord. As soon as you think you're humble, you're not. That's why it's such a fine line right there. And I'm thinking, listen, this humility of faithfulness, not just the grocery list of to-dos and don'ts, but our relationship with the Lord that is going to produce an outward physical action. The hurt of unfaithfulness, you know as well as I do, there's some you can't depend upon. That's where it comes down to. You know that. We know that. You say, what do? You move on, someone else does it. We can't harp on it all day long because nothing would ever get done. But then the honor of faithfulness. How many are looking forward? And I thought in Matthew chapter 25, you have the parable of the talents. And we've used the illustration so many times, but how many are so looking to be able to stand before the Lord at some point for the opportunity to be able to hear, well done, thou good and, what is it? Faithful servant. Faithful. Faithful isn't the entire list of everything that's been done. You've just been faithful. You have a relationship with the Lord. You've been faithful to that relationship, that spiritual characteristic of faithfulness that is evident in outward physical action, the honor. I want you to see this over in Hebrews chapter number 3. Hebrews chapter number 3. I want you to see the entire theme of Hebrews as you go through is the word better. Christ is better than the sacrifices. Christ is better than the priests. Christ is better. Everything about Christ is better. But I thought about this honor of faithfulness. I can't wait to get to heaven, and Lord willing, I'm faithful till the end. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Hebrews chapter 3, look at verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Now, who appointed Christ? God did. Christ was faithful, but look at this. As also Moses was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. I went back and read those verses. I said, what an honor. Now listen, Moses didn't pen those words. But can you imagine at some point your faithfulness as a Christian, your faithfulness as a child of God being directly compared to the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider the apostle and author of our faith, the Lord Jesus, and he was faithful to him that appointed him as Moses was faithful. And I thought, Lord, if you'd allow us to, what an honor that would be that when God looked down and he'd say, you know who the faithfulness of Nate reminds me of? Jesus. Man, what an honor that would be. Now listen, as soon as we get up and say that though, Brother Jordan, we almost lose the humility of faithfulness. But it ought to be what we're striving for. The honor of faithfulness. You say, where should we be faithful? Let me give you these three things. This is my message today. Three things. First of all, we ought to be faithful through temptation, shouldn't we? Aren't you thankful for 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13? If we're going to be faithful like Christ was faithful, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. What's them next four words? But God is faithful. Aren't you thankful for that? If we're going to be faithful as Christ is faithful, listen, as God is faithful, we're going to be faithful in temptation. I'm so thankful that we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Faithful through all of it. You say, I want my faithfulness, and not in a prideful way, not in an arrogant way, but I want God to be able to depend upon my faithfulness. If he needs to put the weight down on me to be able to carry the load, I don't want to be the foot out of joint. And I want to be found faithful. Then that means I need to be found faithful in temptation. That means the things of this world, when they get bombarding to us, and some just of our own making, we allow the temptations to be able to come in, that we're saying, Lord, I'm faithful. You were able to do this. I'm able to do this through your strength. Christ was faithful in temptation, but aren't you thankful that he was faithful in forgiveness too? I know more than one, because this is our go-to verse as Christians. I love 1 John 1:9. How many of y'all are thankful for 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Aren't you glad he's faithful to forgive? Amen. He's faithful to forgive. And we love that verse and we go to him, say, God, I want my faithfulness to be just like your faithfulness. Then, okay, be faithful to forgive. You say, yeah, but they've come back to me 6 times asking for forgiveness. Well, I'm glad we've gone to the Lord more than 6 times, and he's still forgiven us. You say, is that a license to sin? No, and we know that verse. We understand Romans. That's where that comes in. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, we're not looking to do that. But we are looking for God to be faithful to forgive us. And what's Ephesians say? That we're supposed to forgive and we're supposed to be kind as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. That means our forgiveness is supposed to resemble the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus, and we're supposed to be found faithful in every aspect of that. I want, like Hebrews chapter 3, for God to be able to look down and say, you know, consider the Lord was faithful as Moses was faithful. I thought, Lord, I want to be faithful. I want God to be able to have confidence in my faithfulness. You say, well, God knows whether you're going to be faithful or not and whether you can handle that. Yeah, but I still have the choice whether I'm going to carry through with it. But then can I say, I'm thankful that God is faithful in service. You say, what do you mean? Well, I love this verse. Many missionaries have this on their prayer card in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, speaking of the characteristic of God's faithfulness, verse number 24, it says, Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, when we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and here's the reason so many have that verse, is because so many, and they're honestly have some humility when they're walking into it, and that God counted them faithful, putting them into the ministry. You say, what's God going to do? Can I tie the whole thing together? Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. You say, what is the it that God's going to do? Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. You know why he's going to? Because he's faithful. So I say, Lord, am I faithful through temptation the way that you're faithful? Lord, am I faithful in forgiveness the way that you're faithful? Lord, am I faithful in service? I may not be able to do everything, but I can do something, and I can be faithful in my relationship with Christ. You know, I'd rather do one thing and be great at it and be faithful to it than try to do 100 things and mess it all up and not do it. I thought, Lord, if you just find me faithful, not faithful, and I know every pastor hates to make this statement right here. It's not a matter of being faithful Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Thursday night. But if you're faithful to that, and you're not faithful in your relationship to Christ, something's wrong. Now, here's what I believe. I believe as we are faithful to Christ, guess what? The outward actions are going to follow. Now, and I know there's a whole movement, and I despise it, that it's you don't have to go to church. It's all about your relationship with Christ, and you can have it. I heard one preacher say, because here's the arguments getting ready to take place, I can get close to God on my deer stand. And they go out and spend their fall and spend their winter up in a deer stand somewhere. And the pastor looked at him and he said, then why aren't you sitting in that deer stand in June? If you can get close to God in your deer stand, you're not there in June. It's just when it opens up, you're not there to get close to God. You're there to get your deer. Now listen, I believe in a balanced Christian life. You say, well, pastor just gave us liberty not to be at church. No, I believe as we're faithful to the Lord, guess what? We're going to be faithful to his house. We're going to be faithful to the people of God. We're going to be gathering together. I don't want our younger generation getting this thought, I don't have to show up to church. It's all about my relationship with the Lord. Hey, it is all about a relationship with the Lord. And we're going to be faithful in the house of God too. It's like the statement, I won't go there. Put that guard on the edge of my lips, Brother Andrew, and pray the Holy Spirit of God will stop it right there before it comes out. Faithfulness, I believe, is a spiritual characteristic and attribute. It's not the list of do's and don'ts on the outside. You can be faithful all day long to do and do and do and do. But if your relationship with the Lord is not, if you're not faithful there, it's for naught. So I'm not going to ask you today, are you faithful to church? We ought to be. Great Sunday afternoon crowd. I can't wait for every one of you to be back on Thursday night for us to pray together.
Amen.
I'm not asking if you're faithful in church on Sunday afternoon. Are you faithful in your relationship to the Lord? Or is the Lord looking at us and confidence in an unfaithful man is like a foot out of joint and a broken tooth? I don't want that. I want that spiritual characteristic that's going to be cultivated and it's going to be evident with outward actions. I guess if I can summarize it by this, I want to be faithful in everything I do for the Lord because I'm faithful in my relationship with the Lord. Can I close with that statement one more time? I want to be faithful in everything I do for the Lord, and I want to do for the Lord. I want to be faithful in everything I do for the Lord because I'm faithful in my relationship with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the example of faithfulness that we're given to by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray, I believe inward faithfulness to our Savior. It does result in outward action for our Savior. Lord, I pray that we would not get them reversed, would not get them confused. But Lord, above and everything, Lord, we just want to walk with you. And Lord, we'll be found faithful. May that be the goal and the desire of our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.